Under the Scope.
Hey everybody, Shane and Jared together for another Scope movie review.
You're back from vacation.
I'm back from vacation. Guess what, guys? Two eyes. We're four eyes together. Not six eyes like we normally are.
No.
It's very exciting. I can see the camera. I can see the movies that we go see.
What did we just see?
We saw a movie called Let's Be Cops.
Mm-hmm.
It is a comedy. It's coming out very soon. It stars Damon Wayans Jr.
Yep. The guy who plays Nick on New Girl.
Jake Johnson. special cameo by Andrew Garcia.
Mm-hmm. Nina Dobrev from the CW's Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
Other people.
Rob Riggle. Rob Riggle, who pops up in almost every movie nowadays.
Often in a authoritative type of performance. Mm-hmm. He plays a cop in this one.
Sometimes he's a jerk, sometimes he's a good guy. You'll have to see the movie to find out.
Indeed.
So let's tell the people the plots, the completely plausible plots of Let's Be Cops.
So Nick and Coach, I'm sorry, Justin and Ryan are some 30-somethings in L.A. who have apparently moved out there from Ohio to live the dream, I guess. Justin is a video game designer. Ryan is a former college football star who injured himself at some point and has sort of not really found his footing since then. They're sort of down on their lucks, and they're not really sure what to do. They're pondering maybe moving back home, not sure what to do. They're not a lot of direction in their lives, and they're kind of.
Anyway, and they're sort of lovable losers, Jerry.
Kind of lovable losers.
Kind of like us.
Precisely. Yeah. So anyway, apparently there is a party for a Purdue alumni in L.A., which seems very plausible that there'd be such an organization. And Ryan says it's
Don't get caught in the details.
Right.
Jared,
Ryan says it's a costume party, and that they should go in costume. He originally suggests ghosts, but then he realizes that Justin, having just failed a pitch meeting at his job for a police-based video game, has these prop costumes, or actually they're real costumes of police officers. So Ryan says, "Let's be cops."
And there you go.
Go off to this party that turns out to not be a costume party, but a masquerade instead. Yeah. Sorry, I spoiled it. Oops.
Yeah, well, it's early, Jared. It's early in the film.
It is.
You're not really giving away a key plot.
But it turns out that there are some fringe benefits to being a cop. Women notice you.
Yeah.
You can get into cool clubs.
You can be masters of authority and boss people around.
Exactly. And very quickly, Ryan has seized this opportunity to sort of change his ways. He falls into this role very, very easily. It's almost like he's, you know, studying his football playbook again.
Yeah.
He enjoys being an authority figure, and he enjoys the structure of it. And in all ways, it feels he really, really wants to be a cop, even though they're not cops. Yeah. Justin, much more reluctant. And so our dynamic is born.
Yes. And unsurprisingly, because there has to be consequences to pretending to be cops, they sort of stumble into some illegal activities, and then there's
some Russian/Eastern European gangsters are causing trouble for the locals, including Justin's new girlfriend, what's her name? Josie, played by Nina Dobrev.
Very good, Jared. And so, of course, they've got multiple problems on multiple fronts. They have to deal with this Russian mobster group.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to deal with the issue of lying to the world.
Right, and the legal ramifications of impersonating a police officer, which are severe.
Which are, are steep and plentiful, depending upon what you do.
Exactly.
So that's the movie, and obviously you can extrapolate what happens, but it goes from silly farce to kind of serious, which a lot of times movies of this nature do.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the same thing in The Heat.
We did.
Where, you know, you're dealing with serious subject matter in a funny way, and eventually you're going to have to deal with that. And they do.
Yeah.
And so the movie goes on. So
that's a good way to talk around it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I pretty much saw what was going to happen with this movie very early on, with a couple of little twists.
Sure.
You're talking about the Rob Riggle character. He was the dark horse. I wasn't sure if he was going to be good or bad.
Correct.
I mean, they set him up to be one or the other.
You're not quite sure. Yeah. He's a little ambiguous.
Yeah, I do have to say that there was a scene where the two main characters end up going on a bit of not a stakeout, but they're searching a break-in.
Yeah.
And at the end of the break-in, the two fake cops sort of run off, and Rob Riggle's character just sort of watches them go.
Yeah.
And he gives sort of a weird I don't know. I just, maybe it was strange. It was hard for me to pin down what they were going for. I don't know if it was a case of misdirection or a case of them not really knowing what to do with it. Because sometimes when you're dealing with guys that are dressing up like cops, sometimes you don't know what to do with it.
Well, I think what you're seeing is a byproduct of this sort of fantasy world that the film creates.
Yeah.
This world where somebody could actually get a hold of two authentic police officer uniforms and be able to get an authentic police car and basically masquerade as police officers for weeks on end.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, the way the film both succeeds and fails, because when it completely buys into this world, this fantasy world where you can be a cop, it's genuinely funny.
Yeah, a lot of laughs. We both laughed.
I laughed an awful lot in those situations. Where it starts to fall apart is when the real-world consequences of these, of impersonating a cop and thinking you can actually do cop stuff, starts to crash down on these two. And then you're basically, this is the third act, you're really just ripped right out of the story.
And they're in mortal danger.
They're in mortal danger.
Knowing full well that nothing's going to happen to them.
Well, no, because it's a comedy in the end, but that's where the film struggles, and I think it kind of falls on its face a little bit
there. It's jarring. Yeah, and I mean, throughout the movie, I was saying this to myself, I'm really conflicted with this, because there are times when it is funny, and I don't even know if I laughed at when they completely bought into it. All the time. It's just one of those things where sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And I can't put my finger on completely when it did and when it didn't. I thought it started off slow.
Sure,
getting into it, and then as it got, that maybe as it went on and you're sort of seeing this world a little bit more, then you can buy into it. I mean, I think that would have been a more successful movie if they would have not put them in this real life danger, and if they just were existing in this world, and maybe some bumbling cops, real cops, sort of fell onto their schemes and were trying to take them out or something, you know, where
they needed to find some sort of comedic way to fill the third act and to somehow, you know, break them out of this being cops thing.
I mean, we knew
it wasn't going to last.
Spoiler alert, we knew that Nick from New Girl was going to join the police academy at the end, even though they don't say it.
I was thinking that is
the logical conclusion, and that's exactly what happened.
You're thinking it the whole time, like, well, he should just go be a cop if he loves it so much. Do that. Obviously, that's your direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and speaking of this New Girl connection, obviously it has two of the starring leads of New Girl. A lot of times this movie felt, and I teased you about this at the beginning, like, hey, maybe the two characters from New Girl are sitting around a table and talking about how they should be cops, and then they go to like a whoosh.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy sequence within the show.
It feels like it is a fantasy sequence within the show.
Guest star Rob Riggle.
And it's funny.
Sure.
It's funny when they do that. I mean, you're thinking that they're Coach and Nick when you're watching it. It felt like, I mean, they were playing those characters.
They're very similar.
They did not deviate from there, although Damon Wayans Jr. is definitely more timid and more of a pussy in this movie.
Definitely not as assertive
But, I mean, still, it could easily have been Winston and Nick.
Ryan and Nick are basically the same man-child who refuses to grow up.
Who Jake Johnson oftentimes plays, and he does it very, very well.
Effectively,
and
he's very funny. That's his guy. Like I said, this film, when it completely buys out or buys into the fantasy world that it creates,
then we can buy into it.
We can buy in, and it's genuinely funny, and we kind of can just enjoy these characters having fun. But when it tries to be realistic and gritty,
tonally
not
false.
Good. Yeah, a big tonal shift that doesn't work at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad in that regard as The Heat was.
No, I don't.
I think this movie is funnier than The Heat.
I agree.
I think it's more successful overall, but it's still one of those things where, I mean, you think about movies that buy into the implausible. I mean, like Austin Powers or something like that.
Sure.
If you want to think about a movie that fully commits, no one's really ever in danger. It's funny all the way through, and you just go along with, I know Austin Powers, I don't know if that's a good example, but
it's a good example because it's the type of movie that creates its own world and its own logic, and it lives by those rules, whereas this one tries to live by a couple different sets of rules, and it
fails when it goes realistic. So, I don't have much more to say other than let's give this thing a score.
The Scope score is 2 1/4 stars.
2 1/4.
2 1/4.
So it's
above average.
Above average. It's, typical summer comedy fare. It's sort of in the middle when it comes to the funny movies this summer.
Definitely some genuine laughs, but be prepared for a third act that doesn't Doesn't succeed.
Doesn't succeed. So, Jared, please tell all of our viewers and listeners how they can connect with us.
You can like, comment, and subscribe.
It's just that
easy. And if you don't like reviews that are more than 9 minutes and don't deal with spoilers, I can't help you there.
And if you hit Jared's car, you're an asshole.
Yeah, there's some schmutz on my bumper. Yeah. Somebody, like, backed into it. No structural damage, but it's kind of annoying.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
So that's it, Jared.
That's it.
Let's wrap up this review. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for viewing. We'll see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.